prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. Proving God exists one show at a time.
That's right. We love to prove God exists. We also love to prove heaven is real, which we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about the book Heaven is Real. We're just going to talk about heaven and what it's going to be like.
The book is Heaven is for Real. Our show today is Heaven is Real.
Heaven is real. Heaven is legit.
I checked up on all the trademarks and all the registered stuff. We're not going to get sued for that.
And we can tell you heaven is real.
Yeah.
Right. God's not going to... The authors of the Bible are not going to... get after us on that one. So we're glad you're here today. This is where faith and reason meet.
Yes.
We love science. We love math. We love archaeology. We also love religion and God and Jesus and faith. And we believe you can have both of those things, both of those sides.
Yeah, all of it. You know, I really love math too. It just hates me.
Yeah. Another day went by and I didn't use algebra once. but we are going to talk about heaven today. We also got a Bible contradiction coming your way.
Mm-hmm. Or a supposed Bible contradiction.
Supposedly. Supposed. We're going to resolve this one like we do every single week. Yeah. Look, if you're...
Are we getting overconfident?
Probably.
Okay.
We probably are getting a little overconfident. We should just have we should probably have some people boo us just to make us feel bad. That's helpful, actually.
Yeah. I'm sufficiently... scorned.
Hey, you're ugly. Hey, who said that? All right. No, but seriously, you know what? If you are a Christian, we're glad you're listening because this should deepen your faith. If you are a skeptic, if you're not really sure where you are with God, then this should provide you some logical reasons why the faith isn't ridiculous. We just want you to see and maybe ask questions that this is legitimate. Now, we're broadcasting live on YouTube. If you're interested in watching live on YouTube, then on Wednesdays at 5:30, you can come to our website, truthrevolution.tv. And up by the when and where, you can find it right there on the top right of our website. And you'll be able to click on the link that'll get you to our live broadcast. So we're broadcasting live, so you can interact with us if you want to send us harassing messages.
Questions, man.
That's fine. Questions, whatever. But let's go ahead and get started today. And we're talking about heaven. This is a big, big, big question. You know, what is heaven going to be like?
Right. I know a lot of people have that question because it's like, you know what? This earth, the Bible makes it clear. Our life is just a vapor. It's going to pass.
Yeah.
You know, we live our lives here and it's gone.
Right, right. And what we don't want to say is, oh, heaven's going to be fluffy bunny pillows and magic rainbow horsies.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's not what I'm interested in saying.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It's like when you look at what we have on earth and then realize that eternity is infinitely longer than the amount of time we spend here.
We definitely
need to know what's going on.
Yeah, this is an important question. If we're really going to be, I got alarms going off on my computer here. This is if this is going to be a legitimate a way that we believe our life is going to be for millions upon billions of years, we want to know the real question. You know, is God really going to have us exist in some weird eternal spiritual mystical state or is it going to be more real? And the answer is it's going to be real. It's going to be like you and me walking on earth right now are going to be walking on earth forever.
Right. So I could pinch you and you would feel that pinch.
Right. Yeah. You know, people often ask, hey, why is there evil in this world? Now, this is a deep and serious question, and we study this on our show quite a bit, but I'm going to give a really simple, blunt answer today. The reason sin exists in this world is because we invented it. Okay.
We did.
It's kind of like
our fault. My bad. You know?
Dave's fault. But it's kind of like watching a kid run as hard as he can head down. And the parent says, hey, you need to watch where you're going or you're going to run into a wall. And he just puts his head down and runs faster and smack right into the wall. Like, and a minute later, he's sitting there going, why is my head hurt?
Right.
Well, because you disobeyed and ran into a wall. And so when does we proceed? We need to understand that this world that we're in right now, it has problems caused by us in the first place.
Amen.
And the other part of that is that the punishment that we've received, the smacking ourselves in the head against the wall, tells us what has changed. At one point, our heads did not hurt.
Right.
So it tells us what life was like before we made those decisions. So we can look into Scripture and we see what Eden was like before we sinned. And we realize heaven is going to be very much like Eden. Eden lost is going to be Eden restored in the next life.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. You want to know what heaven is going to be like? It will be strikingly similar to the Garden of Eden, because that world was one without any sin or any of its effects of sin, but was still very real, exactly as God had intended.
Do you think that there will possibly be a tree of life in the garden or in heaven?
Well, there won't be a necessity for a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, because we will have all eaten from the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
So nice. We will have eternal. That was a good question.
Yeah.
That was a darn good answer.
It was. It was made me feel like, well, that was a dumb question.
No, I'd actually never actually asked that question before, but I think the answer really is we'll have those of us who are with God in heaven. And heaven, I'm using as a colloquial term. Like, we also mean the new earth.
Right.
Right, we're going to go to heaven to be with God. But when Jesus returns and reestablishes his kingdom, we're going to live on a new earth.
Right.
And that's what heaven will be. Now, so we have to remember, as we go through all of this, heaven or Eden lost will be Eden restored. If you want to know what heaven is like, go back to the Garden of Eden, and it's going to be very, very similar with a few extra bonuses added on. But
awesome. Love bonuses.
I love bonuses too. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. So, all right, now we're going to jump in here. Before we go further, I want to dispel some myths.
Okay.
Can I do that?
You may.
I love dispelling myths, Dave.
I know you do.
It just makes me happy. Let's tell people why they're wrong.
There's something really wrong with you, man.
There is something really wrong with me.
But it's really good, too.
So. All right. So here's...
Usually right.
But myth number one, we started to get into it. Heaven is a spiritual place.
It's not?
No, heaven's not. Well, it is going to be deeply spiritual, but not in the sense that we think of. When we think of spiritual, we think of misty.
Right. We think of the separation between physical and spiritual, and it's not going to be that.
No. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you are totally on track right there. We think of clouds and floating and ethereal things.
I tell you, Looney Tunes didn't do very much to dispel that myth.
No, it certainly did not. And now, don't get me wrong. In one sense, okay, it's going to be very, very spiritual, but I guess maybe a better way to put this is that it's not going to be anti-flesh, if you mean...
Right.
I don't mean sinful by flesh, but I mean material, flesh, normal bodies, rocks, solid objects. Okay, it's going to be very much real in that material way.
We'll be able to pick things up, feel it, throw it, you know, do whatever. We'd be able to build. We'll be able to dig. We'll be able to do, you know, basically whatever we want to.
Exactly. We could go walking down paths that we've walked right now. Mm-hmm. I could go maybe even find my four-wheeler trails, pick up a rock. I could throw a rock to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could throw a rock at you.
I was actually going to correct you on that.
I don't know. But you could be able to catch it. Possibly if you didn't catch it, you wouldn't get mad at me.
Right.
Because Mark 9, verses 47 and 48, it says this. Jesus is talking. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now think about this for a second. He's going to be talking about heaven. He's giving you a very, very physical instruction here. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Okay, he's asking for a real action because it's a real consequence in a real place.
Amen.
If heaven was like just this ethereal la-di-da.
Right, consequences wouldn't matter.
Consequences wouldn't matter.
Not physically, anyway.
Right. And I doubt he would be giving you these very real physical actions if you're just going to a spiritual mumbo jumbo.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Okay. It's not a spiritual place in that it's ethereal, mystical. It's very real, very solid. In fact, some authors have written and said it's going to be more real than what we experience right now.
Yeah. I think basically the Bible kind of says at this time we kind of see things as through a veil.
Yes.
You know? But then we will see clearly, and I really think, I agree, things will be a lot more real than they are now.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:12 is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And it's talking about all kinds of things there. It's talking about relationship to God. It's talking about our ability to know things. But yeah.
And that's what I really think, too, is that right now we barely understand our relationship to God. Then we will truly understand it. And that's what we were made for.
Yeah.
And therefore, it will make everything seem just so much more real.
Absolutely. So good. All right. Now, here's myth number two. St. Peter checks your credentials.
Right, at the door.
Right, right. It is.
There is no velvet rope, people.
No, no. It is God himself who separates mm-hmm. the people, as far as we can tell from the Bible.
Right.
Right. Peter's not checked to see how good you've been.
He's not a bouncer. He does not lift weights.
Well, he might lift weights. Might, yeah. I don't know. But God simply separates people based on whether or not they believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. whether or not they've asked for forgiveness and decided to be a follower of Jesus. So St. Peter doesn't decide whether you get in or not. Number three, this is a myth. Dave, what is this myth?
The myth that everyone will be equal?
Everyone is going to be equal is a myth.
That is not true.
Everyone will not be equal in heaven.
The Bible makes that very clear.
Yeah, abundantly clear. Matthew 6:20, Jesus is talking.
But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Yeah, the very notion that there's rewards in heaven means that some people are going to get more and some people are going to get less. Yeah. In fact, the Bible talks about some people being in charge of others. We're going to get into that later. Isn't this kind of crazy?
It is kind of crazy to think about because, you know, the notion is that we're going to be sitting on clouds playing harps.
Yeah.
That's it.
We talk so much in our culture today about equality. Mm-hmm. Heaven is not going to be equal.
Right. Throw it out the window.
Equality is not a heavenly characteristic.
Well, Jesus himself says time and time again, the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Yeah.
That gives us some kind of idea that there's going to be an inequality in heaven.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I would just like to meditate upon that for a while. We're going to get deeper into that later after we get through these myths. But myth number four, all of our questions will be answered.
Now, come on, man.
What?
I want answers.
You
I
want
do.
Answers? Okay, well, look, it is impossible for all your questions to be answered. For one thing, you just asked too many, Dave.
Right. Well,
me too.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Answers just lead to more questions.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to shake your hand. Thank you right so on. Much. That is so true. When you get an answer, if you're an intelligent human being, you now have two more questions.
Right.
Right? Like, well, what makes red, yellow, and orange? Is that right?
I'm not really sure.
I don't really know.
I think it's backwards.
We're going to make that up.
Yellow and
say,
orange.
Tech guy, is that right? Yeah? It's wrong. No. He says wrong. He's not going to give me the right answer. Anyway, so what makes red? These two things. Red's a primary color. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But what makes a house? Bricks make a house.
Uh-huh.
What makes a brick? This makes a brick. Well, right. What makes that? You get more questions as you get answers, and you would have to actually to the point where all your questions will be answered. You would have to be omniscient. You'd have to know everything,
right.
And you're not going to know
be on
everything.
Par with God, and then you're flirting with the original sin.
Exactly, that would be problematic. 1 Peter 1:12 says this.
1 Peter 1:12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent them from heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it says,
even angels long to look into these things.
Oh.
So you're saying angels reside in heaven.
Yeah.
And they don't know everything.
They don't know everything.
All of their questions are not answered.
That's right. So even angels who live in heaven apparently don't understand everything. How can we assume that we will? Now, there's more to it. Again, we're going to get into stuff deeper later, but these are just some myths dispelled. Okay, the real answers about what heaven is like is going to come throughout this, but kind of attached to this is a question from a listener named Katie. We're going to jump to that question right after the break. We're already about halfway through this for those people listening on the radio. That's crazy. But we are going to get into some questions from people that were sent in. We got a bunch of them today about heaven, so we're going to listen to those. Now, TruthRevolution.tv is where you can go. You can watch live online.
Right.
You can get our podcast.
You can get old shows.
You can get truth shots.
Yeah. That's 60 seconds of truth 3 times a week.
All right. You can donate.
Yeah.
You can also ask questions. Look, that's a lot of reasons to get to TruthRevolution.tv.
Amen.
So you're going to be able to actually view the video of this if you haven't seen it already. So get to TruthRevolution.tv. Send in some questions. We're really interested in answering questions. And we say this, and we'll say it again. We answer every question.
We do.
We have not had a question come in that we have not responded to.
Right. And it's not like, well, we don't know the answer to that one. We're going to push it aside. No.
No.
We actually try and research. If we don't know it, we're going to find it out.
Yeah. If you sent it one before and we didn't answer it, I must have missed it or something.
And
send
then we'll
it
have
again.
Two more questions. I don't know.
All right. TruthRevolution.tv. We're going to be right back after this important non-commercial break. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
We've been discussing Dwight L. Moody and the article that Tori wrote called Why God Used D.L. Moody.
The first reason was complete surrender, but the second reason was prayer.
Tori said, he was a man who met every difficulty that stood in his way by prayer. Everything he undertook was backed up by prayer, and everything, his ultimate dependence, was upon God.
No matter the problem or goal he wanted to achieve, the fact that he was surrendered to God brought him back to prayer.
The third piece was that he was a powerful student of the Bible.
Right. He wanted to know God so much so that he would get up at 4 a.m. to study the scriptures.
Paraphrase, Tori says, you may talk about power, but if you neglect the one book where God gives you his power, and you will not have it.
In addition, Moody had humility. If you'd like to read the article we've been discussing, we've linked to it on the website, so go there right now, truthrevolution.tv.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are talking about heaven today.
Heaven.
It's real. It will be real. It'll be probably painfully real at some points, right?
Like that,
we're talking about the throwing rocks and stuff.
Yeah, and we just answered a myth. Okay, all of our questions are going to be answered.
That's where the real pain is going to be, because we're not going to know everything.
That's a myth. We're not going to know everything. But Katie sent in a question related to that. Let's go ahead and take her question, and then we can try to figure out exactly what the answer is.
I got a question.
Katie wants to know, will we realize who isn't there? And the obvious? Where are they? Will the saying of one day we'll get to find out why come true?
Yeah, this is actually really related to whether or not we're going to know everything.
Right.
We already said we're not going to know everything, but she's asked two different questions. One of them being, will we realize who isn't there? And the other one day we'll get to find out why such a thing happened.
Right.
Okay. Yes to both of those questions. Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll realize who isn't there. And yes, you'll get to find out why. Let me give a caveat to that. But let's start. Now, you probably know some people who are in hell right now.
Right.
Yet you are capable of experiencing happiness, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Right. This is the thing. A lot of times people ask, will we realize who isn't in heaven? Will we realize who is in hell? The answer is yeah.
Right, but do you think that actually us being in heaven, because right now it's like we're on earth.
Yeah.
And it talks about seeing things in a mirror or through a veil. That's really not really real to us right now. But when we get there, it's going to be more real. Do you think that'll make the fact that our loved ones are in hell more real?
Well, if the fact that they're in hell will be more real to us when we're in heaven, so will the fact that we are in God's presence and our joy. So both of those will become more real to us. Right now, even if we know someone who's in hell, we can still experience happiness and joy. I'm not saying it's a good thing they're there, but in addition, you will in heaven, this is important, fully understand why they are there and how it even fits with God's justice and God's goodness.
I gotcha.
So it's not just, oh, so-and-so's suffering. It's so-and-so made a choice. God's justice demanded this. This was the only reasonable response. God's goodness is still played out this way. Right. You'll understand those things.
And let's not forget as well, they will know fully why they are there.
Absolutely.
And they will say, this is justice.
Luke 16, 27, you see a story Jesus told about heaven, and there is a guy, who a rich man who was in hell, and he was talking to God, and he says, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus, that was his servant who's now in heaven, said, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Okay, so he obviously, he remembers his five brothers. He knows that he's being tormented. What he doesn't do is protest. He doesn't say, I don't deserve to be here. Let me out of here.
Right, he wants to warn the rest of his family.
But he knows he's there. He knows he deserves to be there. All he wants to do is warn his family, whom he remembers.
Right.
So we will remember things that were from this earth, obviously, but we're also going to know that people in hell are there for just reasons, for good reasons.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, to the other part, one day we'll get to find out why such and such thing happened. Is that true? Well, like we said, we aren't going to be omniscient, but we will learn, we will discover, we will explore. So we'll definitely have the possibility of finding the answer to some of your questions about why certain things happened on earth. As Dave keeps quoting the 1 Corinthians 13:12 verse, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Right. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We will understand things to a much deeper level, and you'll be able to pursue those mysteries that you couldn't right now.
Right.
So,
good answer.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Tell you what, let's go ahead and try to answer another listener question.
All right. I got a question.
All right, another listener question.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Tasha.
Tasha, okay.
I remember you mentioning something about if a person were able to go to heaven and come back, they would be unable to describe it. What do you say about people who are so adamant about that they went there?
Well, I don't say that people are liars. I don't know what their motives are. Mm-hmm. I think maybe... I just say what they're saying is either not true or they're misunderstanding something. You know, 2 Corinthians 12 tells us what heaven is like. It says, a man was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Okay, inexpressible. That's...
Right. You can't express
that. Can't express it. Things that no one is permitted to tell.
Right. Operative word there being permitted.
Right. No one's permitted. God says, you saw these things, you're not permitted to talk about them. Now, obviously, there could be some things you're permitted to talk about, but the basic premise of this verse is these things in heaven are too lofty to be described. And even if you could describe them, God doesn't want people walking around saying exactly what it is. Hebrews 9:27 says this, men are destined to die once and after that face judgment. So we start with scripture, and after scripture, then we get to people's experiences. Mm-hmm. And scripture tells me you don't go to heaven and then come back.
Right.
You don't. You don't actually die and then come back. People can have some sort of near-death experience where they're experiencing some sort of spiritual state or spiritual reality, but it is not heaven per se.
Right. Maybe, you know, it could possibly be like maybe a kind of like what we see now of a very veiled glimpse of something to come.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure. And we've even done shows on near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. We've talked about how some of these experiences are wildly unbiblical.
Right.
People's near-death experiences have a lot to do with what they believe before they have the near-death experience. Mm-hmm. So Hindus will have a more Hindu-like near-death experience.
Right.
So I wouldn't say everybody's ushered into the gates of heaven. I would say something spiritual happens, but it's not reality.
Well, you're obviously going to be right there on the cusp between physical and spiritual, so you may see something from the other side.
Yeah, that's right. So. Okay, let's do one more listener question right now.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
All right. This one's from Aaron. What will daily life be like in heaven? For example, will the things like recreational activities, jobs, relationships, etc., that we've come to enjoy even register in our minds in heaven?
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
That's what it's going to be, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay, Luke 16, we already read this. I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to the place of torment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're going to remember things on earth. What is our daily life going to be like? Well, we said it was going to, heaven was going to be a lot like Eden.
Right.
Eden restored. What were their jobs in Eden? Their jobs in Eden were to work the garden.
Uh-huh.
Their jobs were to live with each other in community. Well, I mean,
it's to name animals, right?
Well, Adam had a job all, like that
but,
for a while.
But they're all named.
They're all named already. Yeah. Maybe they'll be new animals.
Yeah.
But the point here is we will have daily life. We will have jobs to do. We're going to have tasks to complete. Hank Hanegraaff has said it this way. We will never come to an end of exploring the Creator's creative handiwork. The universe will literally be our playground. Even if we were capable of exhausting the new heaven and new earth, God could create new vistas for us to explore.
Stop. You're exciting me.
Every faculty. We need the Star Trek theme music.
Yeah.
Every faculty will be gloriously engaged. That's your senses, right? Your sight, your smell, your taste, your touch. Every sensation optimized. As A.A. Hodge, the first president of Princeton Seminary, well said, in our eternal home, we will experience the exercise of all the faculties, the gratification of all tastes, the development of all talent capacities, and the realization of all ideals.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
Go ahead.
What's crazy is we look at the things that we have here on earth and we think, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
That steak that I had last night.
Oh,
that's just so grand. And then, you know, that roller coaster that I'm riding on. This is the best.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't even have an idea.
No, it's going to be so much deeper and thicker the steak is. And and our ability to taste it in heaven than we can even comprehend here. You're going to have jobs, but you're going to work well. You're going to have food to eat, and it's going to taste good. All right, we're going to get to Bible contradiction, then come right back.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by answering-christianity.com.
Okay, bring it.
They claim to have 101 Bible contradictions, so they're authentic. When David defeated the king of Zobah, how many horsemen did he capture?
Okay.
2 Samuel 8:4 says, David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses. Man, that's mean.
David?
Yes. No, not me, him.
Oh, okay.
1 Chronicles 8:14, well, 2 Samuel basically says 700.
700.
1 Chronicles 18:4, David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers.
So is it 700 or 7,000?
Yeah, these are from the New King James Version.
Okay. So we go to our cracked acronym. This is how we study the Bible.
Uh-huh.
The E stands for early meaning in manuscripts. When you go to the earliest manuscripts, you find some stuff here.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly, there is actually another mistake in this verse that they missed.
What?
And it's going to help us out here.
Oh.
The word chariots is not necessarily in 2 Samuel 8 in those writings.
Okay.
So it actually says David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers.
Oh, I see. Because when you look in the NIV or some of the later interpretations.
Yeah.
That is fixed.
Right. They insert that word chariot. So what's funny here is the bigger point is that this is probably a copyist error.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when the copyist likely left out the word chariots, it became confusing to the new people who are reading the number 1,000, 7,000.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. There's no number that is 1,000, 7,000. So perhaps they're trying to adjust the number from 1,000, 7,000 to 1,700 to make it make more sense.
Right.
But then it didn't fit with First Chronicles. So the answer is a copyist error happened in 2 Samuel 8.
Right.
I mean, it seems so obvious. Everything is exactly the same there, except that one number, which was a copyist error because there was something else missing too.
Right. We honestly count for those anyway.
Yeah. So that's a copyist error. And the actual number was 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen.
There you go.
It's pretty easy to resolve. All right. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more online only.
Yeah.
About heaven. And I'm thinking, we got like 18 pages. We've only gone through like 5 or 4. So we're going to do some more online.
A lot of stuff.
I think next week we're going to do this as well.
Part two. Stay tuned.
So truthrevolution.tv, you can watch live online. If you go to truthrevolution.tv, find the link there for Wednesday evening, 5:30 Central Time in Kansas time. You can also visit Revolution Church. This is brought to you by Revolution Church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the pastor there. Dave's the bass player there.
Yes.
and we love you. We want you to know God, because God cares more about what's on the inside than the outside of a person. So,
oh, amen. I would be doomed.
TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Talking about heaven today.
Yeah.
And I'm getting really, 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 really excited.
Oh.
We should have done this years ago.
We should have. We should have. But this is good stuff.
It is good stuff.
I want to give a... There's so many good books about heaven.
Uh-huh.
But one that is written so colloquially, so easy to read, is this one, Afterlife by Hank Hanegraaff. Or maybe I should put it over here, wherever the cameraman wants me to go. Afterlife by Hank Hanegraaff. It's a really good book. It's... bit written by a guy named Hanegraaff. Where do I put the book, camera guy?
He's not a very good director.
I'll just give the camera the book to him. There we go. All right. So Hanegraaff is a great apologist. He also has a radio show.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's, I mean, it's not as good as ours, but it's... I'm just joking. Actually, I listened to his show when I was growing up, and I love it.
Does he do extra online content like we do?
No, he doesn't. Huh. He doesn't. So you're
going to have a talk with that.
We'll have to have a talk. All right. But anyway, you should get the book Afterlife by Hanegraaff. It's really good stuff.
He's probably listening right now and says, oh, oh, great idea, guys.
He's like the biggest radio Christian radio program in the country.
Yeah. And he's not listening to us.
Okay. So I don't know. We had some pretty good guests on before. He might be. Maybe we'll have him on someday. All right. Genesis 3, 17 to 18. He says this, this is God after sin. And God says this, cursed is the ground because of you, talking to Adam and Eve. Though through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field.
That is depressing.
Okay, but the point here is...
Such is our life now, right?
Right. We weren't the only ones affected by the fall.
Right.
Right, creation itself was subjected to frustration because of the fall, because of our sin.
You know that saying, one bad apple just ruins the whole thing? Yeah, pretty much.
That's exactly where it came from,
yeah.
Right? The primary we think of when we talk about the fall of mankind is mankind.
Right.
But creation, the world itself, is different today because of the sin. God cursed the earth.
Right. And that's probably the reason why there's enmity between everything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? St. Irenaeus of Lyons, who was a very, very early Christian theologian, he said, Adam lived in luxury. A place was prepared for him better than this earth, excelling in air, beauty, light, food, plants, fruit, waters, and every other thing needful for life. And its name was paradise. And so beautiful and so good was paradise that the word of God was always walking in it.
This is great stuff.
I love that.
That's awesome.
That quote, that's an early Christian. I mean, this guy lived like, I don't know, 1,900 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he even says that paradise, Eden, excelled in air quality. And they didn't have to deal with pollution right. Like we do now, right?
Amen.
But he was like, the air will be thicker and better.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's so cool. Right now, a guy named Wayne Grudem has written in a book, Systematic Theology. He says, creation is intended to show God's glory. Even the inanimate creation, the stars and sun and moon and sky, testify to God's greatness. How would you like to live in a world with no thorns or thistles?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I wouldn't have to have shoes on.
How would you like to live in a world where you bend down to examine a flower and you immediately feel joy and want to praise God?
Right.
Personally, I have allergies. So to a certain extent, bending down to smell a flower sounds more like hell.
Right.
You can probably tell today.
Yes.
Right? But you get the point. I won't have allergies.
Amen.
Hallelujah, man. This is what I'm talking about, right? Like, no allergies. Uh-uh. Not going to do it. So that's the main reason I'm looking forward to heaven. Romans.
Really? The main reason?
Not really. But you get the point. Romans 8:20. It demonstrates what has changed since the fall.
For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God.
Did you catch that? Heaven is for us, yes. But God's goal is that not just we will be changed, but Everything right, would amen. Be changed. And in heaven, creation itself will be able to bring glory to God by its very existence. Mm. What was lost in the Garden of Eden, beauty, perfection, thickness of reality, will be restored in heaven. Right? Genesis 3:19 said, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food.
That just doesn't sound fun.
No, that's the curse that we live on right now. That's the curse. Work changed when God cursed the earth. Right now, we work and it's by the sweat of our brow. In other words, it's painful.
So what you're saying is basically we will have these jobs. You know, and it sounds like, oh, I got a job. I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I got to take a shower. I got to go out and get in the car. Hope it starts. Maybe shovel the driveway. And then I got to deal with traffic going to a job. Is this what heaven's going to be like?
Maybe.
No.
No, not at all. Maybe there will be some traffic, but it won't tick you off.
Right.
Maybe we get to shovel the driveway because snow will happen.
Right.
But it's not going to be through painful toil that we remove it.
Right. It is the thing that we deal with right now when you talk about the ache in our muscles, whenever we do things that are heavy, we do heavy lifting and stuff like that. And the next day we're like, we're not going to experience that in heaven.
Right.
Our bodies will be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. My children, when it snows outside, they have no concept of, now I got to shovel the driveway.
Right.
There's like, snow. Oh, yeah, baby. Right. And it's just another reason to have joy.
Right.
And in some way, I'm not saying we're going to be naive like children, but we're going to experience life on such another level that when it snows and maybe we do need to remove the snow, it is going to be such a different level of work such that we can't even comprehend. We are not going to work, quote, by the sweat of our brow. We're going to work by the joy of the glory of God.
Right. And here's another thing. You know, you'd be out there shoveling your driveway. Somebody might actually stop by and help you. You know what I'm saying?
That's possible.
It doesn't happen very much right now.
That's possible.
I guarantee it's going to happen then.
But you know, what kind of work? Well, in the garden, mankind did not work painfully.
Right.
Right? He didn't remove thistles from the ground. Those are both parts of the curse. Imagine your job. I'm sure we'll all go through times where our jobs are driving us insane. Mm-hmm. We can't be exactly sure what kind of jobs or responsibilities we'll have. I don't think the Bible makes that really clear. They tended the garden. Right? Perhaps jobs will be tending. I also think, this is just my guess, all right? Educated guess based on what I know from the scriptures. We'll have jobs of exploring, creating, artistry, science.
I want an exploration job.
Exploring God's creation, universe itself. Like, perhaps, why the big, gigantic universe? Perhaps we were meant to explore the universe. That would explain the desire inside humanity to know what is out there, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we were meant to explore these things, but because of our sinful natures that have corrupted earth and our own ability to think, we are unable to produce the type of craft needed to go to space.
Right. Now check this out. I just had an epiphany.
Yeah.
You know, and it might sound a little blasphemous. I don't know. But I mean, you know, when God created the universe, I mean, he's like, here, this is where I'm going to stick my creation, right? I'm going to plunk it down right in there. Kind of like when we go out and buy a 50-gallon fish tank and say, this is for my fish to explore in. And put them down in there, fully expecting that sometime they will be in all four, actually eight corners of the tank.
Right. Exactly. And imagine then that your fish sinned and their capability to swim was greatly limited. They couldn't even get to the furthest reaches of the aquarium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's basically, the universe will be open up for us.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe we'll be let loose to be able to explore.
I wonder what kind of sin fish have.
I don't know. They don't remember from one second to the next.
So. Matthew 24 says this. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has, put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions.
Wow.
This is a promise about heaven. Right. Some will be in charge, probably more than others.
I'm not going to be in charge of anything.
You don't know that. Your increased stature, rewards. Heck, some of you will be in charge of more things than I will be.
Right.
That's what most of us strive to get anyway. We strive to achieve things here on earth. Mm-hmm. And here, it's promised us for eternity that we can be a faithful slave to Christ that will reap us rewards. Living our lives for God for 80, 90, 100 years of complete devotion, maybe that's hard work, but what does it yield? 1 billion years of eternity.
Right, and not only that.
And rewards.
You're right. We strive for things that we think are rewards right now.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, we're talking about physical rewards, things that we can touch. I imagine that a lot of the rewards that we're going to get in eternity will be probably emotional rewards. Or, you know, those type, intangibles. You know?
Yeah. You know, next week, we're going to talk about what those rewards are. We're going to hit that. Really good stuff. But you just think about the fact that 100 zillion years of rewards uh-huh. is based on what you do right now.
That's amazing. Does zillion even exist?
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't probably, which means it's beyond infinity, right?
Yeah, 100 trillion years you will exist for, and you'll be rewarded during those years based on what you do right now. That's the motivation.
Yeah.
To live for Jesus, to know Jesus, to rest in Jesus. And next week, we're going to talk about how you get those rewards and what it means. What are those rewards?
Because we want to know.
We want to know. So that's next week, truthrevolution.tv. Hey, consider donating. You know, if you're listening online already, or you're by a computer or you got the podcast, you can get to our website. Consider donating. The only reason this show happens is because God provides through people like you.
Amen.
So consider donating. We'd love it. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church.